Hey, it's good to be back with you. I've been away for about 3 Sundays. In fact, some of you have been messaging me wondering if everything was okay with me, and everything is okay with me. I've been away preaching at some other events that are going on, and Logan and Tucker have been handling this, and I want to say thanks. And also, they've been handling the ministry of our church on the last 3 Sundays. So I've been making a little circuit, preaching at other places, and now I'm back here with you. We're starting a series today, now right up to the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And it's called, our series is called The Gospel. And our goal is by Thanksgiving, you're going to be able to effectively answer the question, if someone were to ask you, what is the gospel? That you're going to be able to effectively answer that question with confidence and with God's truth about what the gospel actually is. You probably know it already, you know it, but we're going to piece it together in such a way that'll be helpful for you as you mention it to other people. Our church is doing this simultaneously, and what I mean by that, our students, middle school and high school, along with Sunday morning on the adults, we are all going through this together. Hopefully it's going to bring spiritual conversations between children and the adults and children and their parents. So I hope you're blessed by it. Romans 1:16 is where we are today. Let me read it to you. Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then also to the Greek." Let me pray with you. Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. I pray that you help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. You know who's watching. You know when they'll be watching. I'm sensitive to any word of knowledge you were to give to me to speak to a person. If you prompt me with it, I do want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, also, you look at all of us, but you look at me differently. I'm your teacher, preacher, and upon me is a greater and a more strict judgment, and I know that, and I accept my place in this moment in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. The gospel is good news. It means good news. And then you ask the question, what is the good news? Put together just a little bit of a definition for you. It says, a gospel is an announcement of good news. In particular, to us, the gospel is the announcement that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has brought about salvation. It has come to us. Now, there are more elements to the story of the gospel, like the ascension of Jesus, like his return, the return of Christ. We'll get to those later. But to begin with, the gospel is very simply the mission of Jesus with a real heavy focus on the cross and the resurrection. It's his life, it's his mission, why he came. But oftentimes you're going to hear that gospel preaching is cross and resurrection preaching. So we want to begin there as we begin to talk about what is all contained, what is the gospel, and you give it an effective, confident answer in that. There's something in history called the Apostles' Creed. I'm going to read it to you in a moment. And there are versions of that. There's a Catholic version, a Protestant version of this. And it's called the Apostles' Creed, not because they said it, but or they wrote it, but because this Apostles' Creed is a summary of all the teachings from the apostles. And I want you to see how it contains the gospel. It contains the gospel message. The Apostles' Creed goes like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, cross resurrection there. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed is taking a summary of the teachings of the apostles and putting that all together is a creed that represents the gospel. It becomes the gospel message. John 3:16, one that many of us know from our childhood and we memorize, is referred to as the gospel in miniature, the gospel that is summarized. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember when more contemporary music was coming into the church, and some of you can remember with me, and I did go through this, the worship wars is what we called them. But one of the songs that seemed to make its way from kids camps, from student camps and kids camps to Sunday morning worship was a song that was entitled "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." I'm not going to sing it, just going to go to the chorus. But in the chorus, we have a picture of the gospel message. And here's what it said: "You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." And for some of you who came through that era, from that point in time, you probably know all the hand gestures that go with that song. I can remember a few of them, but you remember that. Again, I'm just picking out scripture. I'm picking out the Apostles' Creed. I'm picking out the lyrics from a song about how their work is that they want to be able to achieve telling the gospel story. There's a book, a new book, really. It's not been out very long. It's called The Gospel Privilege by David Johannes. And I've got a quote that I want to give to you from him. He said, "This is gospel privilege in its essence, God's extravagant grace bestowed upon undeserving humanity." That's David Johannes with The Gospel Privilege. The gospel picture is his grace came to us and we never even deserved it. I went around, I'm here at the office, we're taping on Thursday, you'll see it on Sunday, but I talked to Tyra and Tucker, he's behind the camera, and I talked to Amy and Susie in the office, and I read them something, and I said, "Is it wrong to quote yourself as a preacher?" And I guess if I just give you my thoughts, that's what I'm doing anyway, right? But through this study and prepping for this sermon, I wrote this together to maybe help you. It certainly helped me, but maybe it'll bless you, because it really is something I just really journaled. I just started journaling, and I'm not much of a journal. I don't journal very often, but I just wanted to take in all I had been reading and all I had been studying in 36 years as a pastor and academic education, theology, and all that. And so this is what I wrote. The gospel or good news is that God has intervened in our lives. Now just stop there. He's intervened. He's absolutely, he came to stand in our way. And he's intervened in our lives between our rebellion and our eternity. And I want you to think about that for a moment. From the very beginning of your life, I was born with a nature to rebel. So were you, everybody. So was Tyra. So was Tucker. We all were. That's what happened from the fall. I don't mean fall as in a season of the year. You know what I'm referring to, out of Eden and just the sin nature. And there I am in my rebellion. And then before me is my life and my eternity. And a God loves us so much that he intervened in our lives between our rebellion and our eternity. And he intervenes with the gospel. I mean, that's what he's sent in front of our path. And the gospel is the life and the mission of Jesus. It's Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. This gospel intervention, when believed, when you believe it, transforms our life from rebellion to obedience, and forever changes our eternity with him. And then I signed it because they're going to have it on the screen on Sunday. You're a preacher. That I have journaled that together as a picture of what he has done. Let me read that together for you again, because I kind of preached in between the points. Let me just read it in its entirety. The gospel or good news is that God has intervened in our lives between our rebellion and our eternity. He intervenes with the gospel, which is the life and the mission of Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. This gospel intervention, when believed, transforms our life from rebellion to obedience and forever changes our eternity with him. I want to go back to the verse we started with in Romans 1:16. And I want to break this down for you for just a moment. And let me read it to you again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek. Paul here, the gospel is a simple message. And over these series, we're going to learn to piece it together. And from this verse, it says the gospel belongs to God. It begins with God and it is empowered with God. I want you to see it in the verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's. Let's just stop there. It is God's. It's his. This gospel message belongs to him. It is God's. And we see that it begins with him, it belongs with him, and even the word power there, it is empowered by him. And it is his good news to a rebellious people. It is his intention to bring this gospel centered around Jesus, his son, and absolutely stick it in my way. To block my path, basically, if you want to see it that way. So the gospel is not advice, it's power. I'm going to go to the middle of that verse. It's not a suggestion, it's power. It doesn't bring power. Paul wrote, it is power. It is power. Nothing else can save my soul but God's power. Nothing. Good works won't do it. Higher education won't do it. Having good old-fashioned, as my dad called it, horse sense or common sense, it won't do it. Wisdom by itself won't do it. The only thing that can turn me from the rebellious creature that I am to the saint of God that I can be is the power of God. It's the only thing that can happen. And this power has an aim to it. The aim, the focus of it is salvation. There's a focus on us, but the focus is on salvation, because it is God's power for salvation. And it says it is to anyone, to everyone who believes. We really work hard at creating a really good discipleship culture, and it's always advancing and changing. We're tweaking it all the time, and we need to, as anyone needs to. But the word believe here is a faith, the word faith. But it comes from the Greek word pisteo. And pisteo we have used from the teaching of Dan Grider, who's connected to our church, that this kind of belief means you're all in. It is the power, it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. That is absolutely all in. And then it says that this salvation is first for the Jew and also for the Greek. This is talking about the totality of people. Let me say it to you this way. I grew up in Campbellsville in Taylor County. And so if you were from Taylor County, then you were one of us, right? But if you were from anywhere else outside of Taylor County, whether it's another county in the state or just from another state or actually another country, you were considered an outsider. But if I use biblical terms, you would be the Greek or the Gentile. So if you didn't live in Taylor County, no matter where else you live, you were a Gentile or a Greek. And Paul writes this in such a way, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek or the Gentile, because if you weren't Jew, you were Gentile. Didn't matter what you were a Gentile. And the picture that Paul is saying here is the totality of man, that the gospel power that leads to salvation knows no boundaries. It is not national or racial. It is for all the nations. It's for people. So it goes past national and racial limits that people can put on it. And I want to go back to the beginning of the verse. Paul says, I am not ashamed of this gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's. It's not advice. It's not suggestion. It's power. It doesn't give power. It is power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then also for the Greek. Paul's not ashamed. Why is he not ashamed? Have you ever wondered why he's not ashamed? I believe I can answer to you. I've not only read the writings of Paul, I've read many books about Paul specifically, because he knows this gospel message is centered on the person of Jesus and that Jesus is the only way. Let me remind you, he's talking to Rome here. That's why it's called Romans. And Rome is in it is the center of power. Power when it comes to economy and commerce. Power when it comes to military force. Power when it comes to political and governmental agencies. It is the center of power right there. He's in and that's why I believe he uses this, because he says the gospel is God's power. And it's greater than any power that you know. And he said, I'm not ashamed. Why is he not ashamed? Because he knows there's no other way. Absolutely no other way. If you are ashamed of the gospel, it may be that you believe there's another way, that the world has a better offer. And if you are not ashamed of the gospel, then you understand that it is our only chance. Are you listening to me? You're not going to get to heaven because of your last name and any status that comes with. You're not going to step into the promised eternity of heaven through Christ himself just because you have achievements here in this world. It's not going to happen. The only chance that Billy Graham had, Charles Spurgeon had, any of those great preachers, evangelists, and pastors, anybody who led in the awakenings that God had anointed, from Charles Finney to Evan Roberts, the only chance any of those people I mentioned had is through Christ, through the gospel. It's the only chance you have. It's the only chance that I have. That's why Jesus, in his description of himself in John 14, and we'll just leave it, he says, I am the way. And there are so many, the world is going to so tempt you and confuse you that there's other ways for you to step in your own kind of eternity. And guys, there's only two places of eternity. That's with him or that's in hell, one of the two. I just want you to know, God loves you and he's intervening in your life. He's putting the gospel message that is centered around the very person of Jesus right in front of you. Continuously, all the time. You may dodge it left, you may dodge it right, you may do all kinds of things, but you've got to realize he loves you and he's intervening in your life between your rebellion and your eternity so that you can spend eternity with him. You've got to know that and you've got to be able to see that. I am not ashamed of the gospel. There's a lady in our church named Vanessa Stratton. And we all love Vanessa. Vanessa's very expressive in her worship, and you can probably hear her from wherever you are when it comes to worship. And when we were building our church, it was just bare. Our stage was bare. The walls you could write on, the stud work everywhere. And we had a day when we took our pens and put them together and went in there and wrote scripture. And I looked up and I saw on the stage that Vanessa was laying down and writing right where I preach, and now we have hardwood over it, but she wrote Romans 1:16 right under my feet every Sunday. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Listen, surrender to him today. It will transform your life. It will absolutely place you in his eternity in the future. I pray that you choose that. I love you. It's good to be back with you. And you know what we say to each other, okay? Grace and peace. God's blessings.